Thank you, everyone. I welcome you to the Growthpoint Properties Australia half-year results presentation for the 6 months ended the 31st of December 2016. My name is Tim Collier and I'm the Managing Director of the company. Before we start, I draw your attention to the important information and detail on slide 2. To slide 3. Today I will provide an overview of the highlights for the half year and the property portfolio, and prior to questions being taken, focus on the period ahead. I am joined here today by our Chief Financial Officer, Dion Andrews, Chief Operating Officer, Aaron Hockley, and Head of Property, Michael Green, who will each talk about their respective areas of responsibility. Now turning to the overview on slide 4. For the half year 2017, there was a 16.8% increase in distributable income compared to the half year of 2016. A very strong result that sets the group up for achievement of its guidance for financial year 2017. The NTA per security has grown 4.2% over the half year. With acquisitions and sales, the portfolio has been reweighted to the office sector relative to the industrial sector, and the group's New South Wales exposure increased. On the 1st of July 2016, Growthpoint lodged a bidder statement for the takeover of the GPT Metro Office Fund. We call it GMF, ASX code GMF. The takeover was successfully completed in the half year, with all properties smoothly integrated into Growthpoint's management and accounting platform. Growthpoint was pleased to sell 5 industrial properties in the half year, including a Victorian portfolio of 4 assets sold to the Mapletree Logistics Trust of Singapore for a price of $142.2 million. At the 31st of December 2016, balance sheet gearing was 42.5% within the group's target range of 35 to 45%. It is our intention to lower gearing further in the period ahead. Moving to slide 5. The highlights there include a total security holder returns for the half year in calendar year 2016 outperformed the AREIT index at 7.5% and 13.5% respectively. The return on equity was also strong at 8.3% and 14.9% over the half year and the calendar year respectively. As detailed in the introduction, a very strong result for distributable income for the half year at 12.5 cents per security, up 16.8% on the previous corresponding period. Our financial year 2017 distributable income guidance remains at 23.3 cents per security, a healthy 6.4% increase. And finally, post our upgrade of guidance, which occurred in December, before this announcement, we expect to make distributions to security holders of 21.5 cents per security this financial year, an increase of 4.9% on financial year 2016. Turning to slide 6 and the highlights for the portfolio. As previously stated, the successful takeover of the GPT Metro Office Fund, adding 6 quality A-grade office properties to the portfolio, valued at approximately $440 million, was the considerable highlight. Divesting 5 industrial properties for over $150 million. Gains in property values with like-for-like growth of 2.2% for the half year. And the property portfolio growing strongly to a value of approximately $3.2 billion. A good leasing result, where over 55,000 square metres were transacted in the half year, leading to a portfolio occupancy of 99% and an attractive lease expiry profile going forward. And you can see there 1% vacancy and 3% expiries over the next 3 years. Moving to slide 7, it has been pleasing to undertake property acquisitions and disposals that meet our objectives of increasing New South Wales investment exposure, where the opportunity for rent growth is good, and increasing office sector investment, which now stands at 66% of the portfolio value. As a result of the acquisitions and divestments completed and recent leasing activity, the weighted average rent review under leases for the portfolio has increased to 3.3% per annum from the prior 3.1% per annum. Sustainability has been an increased focus of Growthpoint, and it is pleasing that the average neighbour's energy rating has increased to 4.4 stars, reflective of the modern, predominantly A-grade office portfolio held. Moving to slide 8 and the significant property sales completed. Properties 2 to 5 on that slide comprise an industrial portfolio sold to Mapletree in December 2016 for $142.2 million. There were several strategic reasons for the sale, including effective reinvestment into GMF, an office portfolio with superior growth prospects, reduction of gearing with sale proceeds used to repay debt, and in regard to the Woolworths Wodonga property, which was over half the portfolio value, it was a regionally located asset where our strategy is to invest in larger, more established property markets. And secondly, Growthpoint held 4 Woolworths assets, including Wodonga, each with a lease expiry in July 2021, so 4 properties expiring on the same day. The sale reduced the single tenant risk lease expiry. The sales of the properties crystallised an attractive ungeared internal rate of return during property ownership. Moving to slide 9. In this half-year presentation, we thought it relevant, giving Growthpoint's growth in assets and marketplace activities, to highlight the key assets of the group and to emphasise that they are substantial, quality, institutional-grade investment properties. The top 5 properties or groups of properties in the office sector account for 56% of the office portfolio by value, with a weighted average lease expiry of 7 years and an attractive 3.6% per annum weighted average rent review. The properties are, firstly, at the SW1 complex in South Brisbane, which comprises 4 A-grade office buildings totaling 37,500 square metres and a commercial car park. And these are located within an attractive and vibrant mixed-use development with strong amenity. We have had considerable leasing success here in recent years, and the property is 100% occupied. It is valued at almost $330 million, so a significant asset, at a market yield of 6.4%. In June 2014, Growthpoint purchased the New South Wales Police Complex at 1 Charles Street, Parramatta, for $241.1 million. Now, with 7.4 years remaining on the lease, it is valued at $292 million. Growthpoint had studied the Parramatta office market for 2 years prior to this purchase and was very confident of market fundamentals here and Western Sydney's population and economic growth forecasts. Parramatta has had the lowest vacancy rate of any established office market in Australia and enjoys high demand from tenants and investors alike. Sydney Olympic Park office assets of $242.9 million were acquired with the GMF takeover. Growthpoint was impressed by the quality of the assets and the tenancy profile, however, also recognised the regeneration of the location, significant development, raising the amenity and services of the precinct, a proactive state government, and the recently announced Sydney Olympic Park strategic plan. Just with that transaction, Growthpoint also attained first rights of refusal over three GPT assets in the precinct. The $173 million Dorcas Street South Melbourne property was acquired on market in June 2016 for $166 million. Once again, an outstanding fringe CBD building with quality tenants, including the ANZ Bank, Mondelez and BMW, and what we believe are relatively low rental levels when compared to the wider market. Finally, the group has a $140 million investment in three office buildings in Richmond, Victoria, where it has agreed a long-term lease to David Jones for their national headquarters, which is relocating from Sydney after current leases to GE expire in 2017 and 2018. Part of the site has development approval for a new 18,000 square metre A-grade office building. Moving to slide 10 and the top five industrial properties, and I'll predominantly comment on the Woolworths properties. Growthpoint's largest tenant is Woolworths, and the group has investment in five large distribution centres. These properties comprise a significant portion of Woolworths' national supermarket logistics network. The properties are valued at approximately $565 million at an average yield of 7% with a weighted average lease expiry of 5.8 years. I could talk about the property portfolio for some time. Suffice to say that it is a high-grade property portfolio with a growing income, leased to quality tenants for the medium to long term. There is upside in leasing vacant space, extending leases to existing tenants, development, expansion, and longer-term redevelopment. I'll now hand over to Dion Andrews, Chief Financial Officer, to review the financial management of the group.
Thanks, Tim. Turning to slide 12, I'll highlight the points of interest from our financial results for the year. Statutory profit was down 9.4% from the prior period, but this was solely due to the revaluation gains on investment property in half year 17 being below that of half year 16. Noting that there were strong gains recorded in both periods. Our preferred measurement is distributable income per security, which strips out revaluations on property and derivatives. This figure increased to 12.5 cents per security, a 16.8% increase on the prior period. Distributions per security increased 3.9% to 10.6 cents per security, with the payout ratio falling to 84.9%. However, distributable income per security is skewed to the upside for the first half of the financial year and is expected to moderate in the second half. I'll discuss that in a little more depth in a moment. Our interest cover ratio, which measures the number of times our net property income covers the group's interest expense, was stable at 4.1 times for the calendar year versus a banking covenant requirement to have the ratio above 1.6 times. NTA per security was up 4.2% since 30 June 2016 to $2.72 per security. Balance sheet gearing decreased to 42.5% from 43.1% at 30 June 2016 and remains within our target gearing range of 35 to 45%. Slide 13 provides a brief explanation of Growthpoint's revised accounting treatment of tenant incentives and indicates the historical impacts of adopting this treatment for consistency, none of which are considered material. An update on this matter was released to the market on the 17th of February 2017. This change has no impact on distributable income or distributions either for the current period or historically. There is further information on both average incentives and how incentives are accounted for in Appendix 4. Slide 14 discusses the reasons that distributable income has been skewed to the first half for financial year 2017 and why it increased 16.8% when compared to the prior corresponding period. I'll deal with the 16.8% increase in distributable income first. The key reason for the significant increase when compared to the prior period is the $726 million of office assets acquired since that period. These acquisitions were partly funded by relatively inexpensive debt and were highly accretive to distributable income. The second half of this financial year, distributable income will be negatively impacted by the loss of income from the industrial portfolio sold in mid-December. Subject to market conditions being appropriate, Growthpoint also wants to decrease gearing from 42.5% towards the middle of the target gearing range of 35 to 45% through non-core property sales or other capital management initiatives, which will likely have a moderating effect on the second half distributable income. Given this, the group has provided a forecast of full-year distributable income of at least 23.3 cents per security, which would mean a payout ratio for the year of 92.3% on the full year distribution forecast of 21.5 cents per security. This payout ratio accords with the group's guidance of a payout ratio above 90% for the short to medium term. Turning to slide 15, we can see the components that made up the 11 cent increase in NTA per security. The movement was based on strong property revaluations, positive swap revaluations, a lower payout ratio, and equity raised above NTA. I will now spend a moment outlining the effect of debt transactions that occurred during the period, as shown on slide 16. To recap, the group increased total debt facilities by $300 million to $1.68 billion, with new facilities used to replace the GMF debt and fund the cash portion of the GMF takeover. Debt was then repaid from the net proceeds of selling the industrial portfolio, leaving $292 million undrawn at 31 December. As a result of these transactions, the all-in cost of debt was 4.1% per annum, stable from 30 June 2016. Gearing also decreased over the period from 43.1% to 42.5%. Slide 17 displays the effect on fixed debt metrics of terminating $100 million of existing GMF swaps and entering $175 million of new interest rate swaps during the period. Fixed debt increased from 65% at 30 June to 71% on balance date, but is still slightly below the group's target range of 75 to 100%. The capital management initiatives outlined previously are expected to reduce overall debt and therefore increase the proportion of fixed debt. The group is also looking to issue into the debt capital markets in the second half. Funds raised would be used to repay short-term bank debt and thus increase its weighted average maturity. The issuance is also likely to be fixed, increasing the proportion of fixed debt as a result. We expect the weighted average maturity of debt will have increased from the current 3.5 years and that the proportion of fixed debt will be within the target range by 30 June 2017. Turning now to slide 18, we can see the group continues to maintain a low management expense ratio, or total operating expenses as a percentage of average gross assets. Capital expenditure as a percentage of average property portfolio value remained low at just 0.15%, although this is expected to average 0.3% to 0.5% over the medium term. The low capital expenditure is due to the modern nature of the office portfolio and a high component of industrial properties that generally cost less to maintain to a high standard. This is part of the reason that the group is typically able to maintain a relatively high payout ratio for distributions. I'll now hand over to Aaron for a review of strategy and performance.
Thanks, Dion. Turning to slide 19. During the half, Growthpoint undertook nearly $600 million of capital transactions. These transactions were in accordance with our announced strategy and drew upon Growthpoint's internal capabilities across a range of disciplines, including property, finance, and legal. We have continued to gradually increase employee numbers and are well placed to continue to expand and improve the property portfolio, primarily as a means of continuing to grow distributions. On slide 20, we again highlight that our relatively simple and highly transparent business model allows us to continually focus on the sustainability of distributions. Despite a significant takeover and over $150 million of asset disposals during the half year, we recorded significant leasing success, continued to improve assets, and maintained low operating costs. Slide 21 highlights two key achievements from our sustainability program, with average NABERS ratings for both energy and water increasing during the half year. We also highlight that 5 Murray Rose Avenue in Olympic Park is the third office building in Australia ever to have been issued with a 6-star NABERS rating for energy without using green power. This rating is the highest available and is achieved primarily through solar power at the property. This property was acquired as part of the takeover of GMF. Growthpoint has released a range of sustainability targets which are being progressed, and full details of these are available on our website. Slide 22 highlights the continued expansion in Growthpoint's liquidity, with free float now approximately $750 million out of a $2.1 billion market cap. During the half year, Growthpoint raised over $180 million in new equity through the takeover of GMF and a DRP for the August 2016 distribution. We will also be issuing approximately $68 million of new equity through the DRP next week. This DRP had a 72.7% take-up, with Growthpoint of South Africa underwriting the balance at a price of $3.20. This is the highest price Growthpoint has ever raised equity at. Total investment across all listed geographic locations and investor types continues to grow. However, South African institutional investment has continued to fall as a percentage, and this has largely been taken up by institutional investors in Australia and Asia. Turning to slide 23. Growthpoint's comparative and historical total security holder returns are highlighted on this slide, with Growthpoint continuing to outperform the sector. Turning to slide 24. Growthpoint continues to target annual distribution growth of 3 to 4%, and this slide highlights that we are currently tracking slightly above this. Growth in distributions over the last 5 years has averaged 4.2% per annum. Finally, on slide 25, we highlight Growthpoint's favourable forecast distribution yield at 6.5% versus 5.8% for the sector. Using Growthpoint's closing price yesterday, this distribution yield increases to 6.7%. We also highlight that Growthpoint is currently trading at approximately half the average sector premium to NTA. I will now hand over to our Head of Property, Michael Green.
Thank you, Aaron. As mentioned earlier by Tim, one of the strategic goals we set 18 months ago was to position the portfolio with a higher concentration in the office market and a greater emphasis on New South Wales. The GPT Metro Office Fund takeover helped to realise this, with $2.1 billion of Growthpoint's $3.2 billion portfolio now in the office sector. Growthpoint's robust $1.1 billion industrial portfolio was again 100% leased at the end of the half. Slide 27 provides a dissection of the portfolio by both geographic, location and sector. Key items to highlight on this slide are that 88% of the portfolio is situated along Australia's eastern seaboard, with 55% being located in the key markets of Victoria and New South Wales. Growthpoint's exposure to New South Wales has increased from 21% of the portfolio a year ago to 26%, and as a result of the acquisitions made throughout the year and the strategic industrial disposals, Growthpoint's office portfolio now represents 66% of the portfolio, up from 53% 12 months ago. Slide 28. One of the key reasons for gaining a greater exposure to the office sector was the potential to increase income growth, as office leases typically contain higher annual rent reviews than industrial property leases. Growthpoint's weighted average rent review is now 3.3%, up from 3.1% a year ago. Like-for-like net property income growth was up to 3.1% across the half, with the portfolio now seeing the benefit of the leasing achievements made predominantly at 333 Ann Street in Brisbane. Growthpoint continued to increase its income diversity, with key tenants Lion, Samsung and David Jones being added to the portfolio. Growthpoint's reliance on Woolworths as the major tenant has reduced from 67.9% of the portfolio's income in 2009 to 16% today. Turning to slide 29. Key items to note on the five-year portfolio summary are: Growthpoint's occupancy rate of 99% is the highest it's been over the last 5 years, demonstrating our continued focus on leasing. Another positive half valuation results within the portfolio, with a 2.2% increase, or $59.6 million. Increases in value were in part due to yield compression, with Growthpoint's average cap rate now 6.7%. However, the majority of the uplift was in assets where successful leasing campaigns were executed. Growthpoint retains a high weighted average lease expiry across a portfolio of 6.3 years, down only 0.3 of a year despite 12 months having passed. Our acquisition activity has further strengthened the income diversity of the portfolio, with our tenant pool growing by 33% over the year to 144 tenants. Turning to slide 30. A number of significant leases were transacted during the half, with over 55,000 square metres leased across the portfolio at a weighted average lease expiry of 11 years. As mentioned earlier, the portfolio is now 99% leased and remains 100% leased in the industrial sector. Leasing buildings 1 and 2 at 572 Swan Street, Richmond, to David Jones for approximately 14.5 years allows the group to focus on the redevelopment of sites 3 and 5 within the same complex. Turning to slide 31. Growthpoint's portfolio also contains significant potential for organic growth through development and expansion projects estimated at circa $200 million, which we'll be seeking to unlock the value of over the next 5 years. Particular focus in the medium term is our building 3 and 5 development sites in Richmond, which will be tenant pre-commitment led. Work on the design is progressing and the pre-leasing campaign will commence in earnest over the next half year. Growthpoint continues to work closely with our major tenant Woolworths and are presently reviewing a number of opportunities across their supply chain where we can add value and expand their sites. Proposed expansions and developments will seek to increase income, value and lease length at their respective sites. I will now pass back to Tim Collier to provide a market outlook and conclusion to the presentation.
Thank you, Michael. To the market outlook and some concluding remarks. Slide 33 and 34 have a lot of detail on them. Rather than summarise in detail every market, suffice to say that we remain attracted to Melbourne and Sydney CBD and suburban office markets for future investment. Growth in effective rents should be good over the next few years. Brisbane has experienced positive net absorption over the last 12 months. Both 6 months prior and 6 months prior to that. And whilst the office vacancy rate is high, the market appears to have stabilised or bottomed, providing a base for future growth. Slide 34 in commenting on the industrial market, our favoured market for industrial investment is Sydney. In Melbourne and Brisbane, in certain precincts, we have witnessed growing leasing incentives in some pre-committed development deals, which has led to pressure on effective rental levels of existing stock. To the focus for the year ahead on slide 35. The last 12 months has been a busy time for Growthpoint, with some key strategic goals and significant property transactions having been completed. Growthpoint's growth has been coupled with an expansion of the team, which is now 22 employees, whilst the dedication of the board and support of the major security holder remains strong. We are well placed at this point in time. Focusing on the future in regard to the property portfolio, we will seek further office investment. We will still look to add to the industrial portfolio, but investment in office markets should predominate, and unless a strategic transaction of significance in the industrial market can be found. Our leasing focus has shifted to industrial lease expiries over the next 24 months. As Michael said, there's an opportunity for the group to create a new office building in Richmond, and we look forward to completing design work and heading to the market to seek pre-commitments there. We sold over $150 million of property in the half year and will continue to review and refine the portfolio with potential divestments of non-core assets. Where we see a clear path to growth in rental income, we will consider property acquisitions with a weighted average lease expiry and occupancy levels that are lower than the portfolio average, where Growthpoint's leasing expertise can be used. Recapping on financial management, we intend to reduce gearing towards the middle of the target range of 35% to 45%, and as Dion has mentioned, we look to expand the group's debt capital markets program. On strategy and performance, a significant part of the group's growth has been achieved through M&A activity. The Rabanoff Property Trust and GMF transactions have added approximately $620 million of quality assets to the property portfolio, and they represent around 25% of the growth in assets of the group since we commenced in 2009, so a significant part of our growth. We will continue to consider future M&A opportunities where it is strategic to do so and clear benefits accrued to Growthpoint security holders over the long term. We have provided guidance for a 4.9% increase in distributions payable to security holders in financial year 2017, and seek to maintain growth in distributions of 3 to 4% over the medium term. We thank you for your time today and are pleased to now take your questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Lauren Berry with Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Tim and team. I was hoping you could give a little bit more colour around your potential non-core asset sales, particularly around what size of portfolio you're looking at selling and if it's in office or industrial.
Sure, Lauren. We're going through the budgeting process at the moment, so we'll be putting a range of scenarios forward to the board in May, and we'll have a clearer picture at that point. Suffice to say, it's not going to be a significant part of the portfolio that we'll be trading.
So less than what you transacted on this year?
We'll give you a better indication later on.
Okay. And your acquisition strategy seems to have moved from a stabilised core assets to more of a value-add tilt. Is this because you think that asset values in office are too expensive at the moment?
We always like to have high yield with lots of growth. So I think certain of our assets do have long-term redevelopment potential. Some of them have change of use. I think that's just us positioning ourselves for the longer term. But certainly when you look at low yields being paid for properties in the market, when we see low yields, we focus on the growth coming from the asset. So certainly our mind is more attuned to how to get the growth out of the assets going forward because there are very low yields being paid. So, you know, for example, we might buy at a 6% yield. We would see that as a pretty sharp yield by our historic buying standards. We would want to see over a period of time that we could move that yield up to 7.5% yield. So I hope that answers your question.
So you probably won't be looking in the Sydney CBD office market then?
Not for prime properties below 5%, no.
Yeah, okay. And what's the over-renting like in your industrial portfolio, particularly in the assets that have expiries coming up in the next 1 to 2 years?
Lauren, it's Aaron here. Overall, across the whole portfolio, it's about 7.2%. So it's it's reasonably low, and about a fifth of that is contained just in the Charles Street property, which doesn't expire until May 2024. So that leaves you about 5%. So that's basically on market. A couple of the assets that are expiring soon are a little bit over-rented, so there could be some reversion, but again, it's not a significant portion of our overall income.
Okay, great. And just last one from me, what's the outlook for overheads in the next 6 months and in FY18, given that you've mentioned that you've added more employees to the company?
Yes, certainly. When we budget for acquisitions, we factor in an MER or operating cost when we look at the accretion analysis for the acquisition. So we would think that the operating expenses will be close to the 0.4% of average gross assets. We think we have allowed for that. We will be moving to a new office and we have put new employees on, so there is extra cost with that growth, but we don't see it being substantially different from the past couple of years where we have grown and put more staff on. So around the 0.4% of gross assets would be appropriate.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Darren Leung with Macquarie Group. Please go ahead.
Hi guys, thanks for taking my question. Just a bit more colour on slide 14, please. On the bottom left of the slide, it mentions FY17 guidance allowance for further capital management initiatives. Can you give us a bit of colour as to what quantum that would be? Is that an additional sort of equity raising, or is that a quantum of asset sales that's been assumed in there?
It could be either or, Darren. So as we say on there, we are looking at non-core property sales. So that could be one path to these capital management initiatives. If we weren't to sell any property in the second half, we may look to raise equity. That could be via the DRP. It could be via a placement or a rights issue. There's nothing set in stone at this point. We are looking at our options and probably looking to non-core asset sales as a first cab off the rank.
Okay, and assuming the number is zero for non-core asset sales, what would be the quantum that you'd be considering?
I'm sorry, I can't say it.
Darren, the reason why we've left that a little bit open is because we don't know what, if any, assets will sell, so you don't know quite what the quantum would be, and we are within our target gearing range at the moment, so from our side sitting here, there's really no need to do anything. So we really need to see what plays out. We've given the guidance that you know, we would like to see the gearing go to closer to 40%, so that probably gives you enough to model on.
Okay, understood. And then a question perhaps for Michael, in terms of the industrial portfolio, the 6% expiries in FY17, I mean, most of these are in relation to the airport assets. What's your strategy in terms of the lease up here?
Yeah, so we've known for a while that these tenants will be vacating because they're probably have been moved to new pre-committed sites. So we've been marketing these sites for a while, and currently, you know, they haven't left yet, but we have got been shortlisted from a number of tenant briefs. So we've been very actively trying to market the properties, and it'll just be a matter of, as we've done with our office properties when they've come up for lease, we just work them hard, we work the agents hard, make sure we cover up all inquiry, and we use the sort of platform that we've got, because we own a number of assets in the same vicinity, to make sure we're capturing all the market inquiries. So that's something that our industrial asset managers are tasked with. We've sort of bolstered that team as well over the last 12 months and added another asset manager into the industrial team. So there's definitely a lot of focus going into it.
Understood. Is there a potential solution for these assets just to divest them?
We always like to try and execute on the leasing strategy where we think we're going to get a better value afterwards. If we feel that we can sell a property vacant possession to an owner-occupier at a higher value than what it will return us if we were to lease it and then sell it, then we'll pursue that strategy. So it's really horses for course.
Okay. No, thank you. And then just a final one, perhaps for Dion. What do you anticipate your cost of debt will become post any debt capital market activity, obviously depending on duration that you're sort of seeking?
Yeah, you're right, Darren. It does depend on that. Look, I think the latest debt that we were doing, the margins on those, the bank debt had increased, whereas the swap rates underlying had decreased. So we've been able to maintain it relatively stable. I think we probably are at the relatively low point for what our debt costs are going to be, and longer term debt would obviously should cost more than the average debt now. So, but it will not increase significantly, because we're not talking about a large proportion of the debt being issued into debt capital market.
Understood. It's clear. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Collier for closing remarks.
Thank you very much. Just to conclude, we are proud of the achievements over the last 6 and 12 months. It's been a period of significant asset growth. That's been reflected in the earnings up 16.8%, which is an excellent result. We have gone out with our guidance, and I think by the tone of your questions and our answers, we have been fairly conservative with our forecast, allowing for things to bring that growth back to a normal level. We don't see that growth continuing at that level. Nevertheless, our earnings will be much higher this year than they were last year, and we're providing a very attractive growth in the distribution of 4.9%. So thank you, and I'll leave it there. Thank you.